Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Shabbat Shalom. I am really excited to be here this morning that we can worship our wonderful, gracious God. He's an awesome God. And this worship is not only a joyful worship, but excited worship. And it's very good. Do you hear me well, or I need to come a bit closer? It's good? Thank you. I am glad that from different parts of the world, we can be here together and to know even more our awesome God. And I would like to study the Word of God with you this morning, and I would like to open and study one particular Old Testament book. This is a prophetical book. And of course, you would expect that I will open the Old Testament book as a professor of the Old Testament. But this book is very particular book, because this is not like you usually think that in the prophetical book God will speak to us, because in that book the prophet more speaks to God. The prophetical book of unusual order, because this is a dialogue with God. Book, prophetical book and dialogue. And I have to tell you that this prophet is frustrated with God. He has a problem with God, and deep problems. And he is such, in deep disappointment that he really don't know what to do. And he's crying to God. And in his disappointment, discouragement, many things he is seeing around himself, these things does not make sense. Well, who is this prophet? Let me give you some more hints. The first word in that book starts with the word burden. The whole life of the prophet is burden. And the message he will receive will be some kind of burden for him. Burden. Prophet who is frustrated, who see only problems around himself, things doesn't make sense. And, this is not a really classical prophecy, this book. It's prophet we call minor prophet. But don't be mistaken, minor prophet is not a second league prophet. And he wrote only 3 chapters, and he lived in the 7th century, in the time just before the exile, when people were taken into Babylonian captivity. And the meaning of the name of the prophet, if I would put it into our English, it is embracing. Of course, God is embracing us, right? He's embracing us because he loves us with his eternal love. He is showing his grace to us every day. Our God is always faithful. He's embracing us and he's telling us, I love you. But the point of that book is not so much that God is embracing us. But the point is that we should embrace God. Therefore, who is this prophet? What is this prophetical book? Well, let me tell you that this book is very important even for the New Testament authors. Because several times New Testament authors are quoting that book. And Apostle Paul is taking one phrase as a key phrase for all what he is teaching. And this phrase is that the righteous will live by faith. Who is this prophet? Now you know, right? This is the prophet embracing Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk. And I would like to invite you that you will open with me this prophetical book, which is very short but very profound. And before we will read from chapter 1, and we will go through this book this morning, let's pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we are here in order to hear your word. We want that you will disturb us by your word, but that you will also heal us by your word, and that you will also encourage us by your word. Then when we will go on to our duties of life, we will do it even with greater dedication and greater excitement for you. Therefore, speak to us through that book of Habakkuk, and we thank you for your presence and for accomplishing this task in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's open this prophetical book in chapter 1 and read together from verses 1 on. The oracle, the burden that Habakkuk the prophet received. And here you have it now, his burden. How long, O Lord, must I call for help and you do not listen? Is this prophet speaking from your heart? The prophet is continuing saying, well, I cry to you, violence, and you do not save. Very often we are in such situation, right? We see hurricanes, we see the tornadoes, we see the horrible scenes on TV screen. What is going on around us? And we would like to cry to the Lord, please Lord, why all of this around us? Please come, stop it. You are omnipowerful. You can do it. God can easily stop the earthquake, correct? God can stop the tornado which is going and rolling, correct? God can stop the waves of the sea. But, well, as we had it today, it was also in the time of the prophet Habakkuk. And he's crying to Lord, Lord, I am crying to you, I am praying to you. And you are silent. And not only that, but why, verse 3, why do you make me look at injustice? There are plenty of injustice in the world. So many, you know, exploitations and torture and rapes and violence we see around us. People are suffering terribly. And yes, look, prophet is saying, well, why I need to look at all this injustice? And then he's saying, well, there is plenty of destruction, violence before me. There is strife, conflict. There is law of God paralyzed. And remember that now the prophet is not only speaking about society in large, because the society at that time, it was also the church. He's looking at his church and he sees the violence. He sees the violence, the injustice, that the law of God is not taken seriously in society, in church, at homes. And he's crying in verse 3, why do you tolerate wrong? And this is a terrible now statement. How is it that God is not intervening? It seems like God is not really showing his power, showing his anger towards sin and towards sinners. Why do you tolerate wrong? And he's frustrated, he's disappointed, and more he's looking around, more he's down. You know, this reminds me one caricature I saw once, which was about the small chick. He was in the egg, but in the caricature was that with 9 pictures, and in the first picture was only an oval representing an egg. In the second picture was the crack in that egg. In the third picture was a beak going out from that egg. In the following picture was this chicken out. And the following picture was that this chicken is looking to the right, to the left, and he's looking, wow, this is terrible, because the scenery was that the skyscrapers were falling down, big earthquake. Therefore, in a big frustration, this little chicken is looking to the right and see the big tsunami is coming. And then the caricaturist is putting another picture that this little chicken is jumping back to the egg. And then the before last picture is only crack over the oval, and then the last picture is the oval. Maybe this little chicken, we have these feelings also, that we would like sometimes to jump back from this world where we have plenty of problems and be in safety somewhere. But we are living in this world of sin. Plenty of problems around. And more we are looking to the right and left, more problems we see. But we need to look somewhere else, right? Where we need to look? When we look around, then we look more and more down. But we need to look up. Because there is the answer. But the problem is that when you even look up, you don't have the answers you expect. At least you don't have the answer so quickly as you would like to have. And this is this frustration of the prophet. Yes, in the following statements we have, when he is crying to God, God is responding. And this is this beautiful dialogue. In verse 5, we read when the prophet is saying, well, there is the law, law is paralyzed, justice never prevails, the wicked hem in the righteous, so justice is perverted. So the Lord is coming and responding. And what is the word of the Lord? Well, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians. Wow, this was very interesting answer to his the prophet, to his frustrations. Because he is living now around, 608, 607 before Christ. And it was the time when there was plenty of injustice. The good, last good king in Israel, in Jerusalem, is gone. He even not died, because he died a violent death. This good king, he thought, well, I need to do something. And even though Josiah king made a big reformation in Israel, when Pharaoh Necho was going up to the north, because he wanted to help Assyrians against Babylonians, which are mentioned in our text, because Babylonians now in the far north somewhere were going bigger and bigger. In 612, they defeated capital city of Assyria, Nineveh. Therefore, Pharaoh Necho, as an ally with Assyria, he's going to help Assyrians. But Josiah are thinking, this is not good. We are always under, the power of Necho, of Pharaoh. We need to stop it. And without asking the Lord, he's engaging in battle with Pharaoh Necho at Megiddo, 609. What happened? This good king was killed. And then came another king, very wicked king. After 3 months, he was no more there. And then came another king. And the word of God is always stating, and he was doing always what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Therefore, you see, in the nation, in the church, wherever the prophet is looking, everything is perverted. Plenty of injustice, plenty of wrong. The law of God is not taken seriously. And he has these right and good questions to the Lord. Questions we have also today. Lord, why are you silent? When I call for help, why you are not there? Just go to the hospitals and you will see how many people are suffering there. Maybe even from our congregations here, there are people in the hospital. Or your relatives died because of cancer or of the car accident or because of the heart failures. This is our world. And we are here and we are asking all these questions and we are calling for help. And the prophet is saying, and the Lord, you are not listening. I am crying. I want your salvation, but you do not save. Well, and this was the situation of the prophet. Now, king, good king is no more there. Evil kings are reigning here. And the prophet hears from the Lord, you know, Habakkuk, I have solution. I have solution for all of this. You are crying that that I am not intervening. I will now intervene. I will use Babylonians for it. And these Babylonians will come. And this is what you will not even believe as we were reading. I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. And now God is telling him, yes, it will happen. In 606, even in the beginning of 605, when a prophet is probably frustrated and is writing these lines, nobody would expect that Babylonians will be in Jerusalem. Because Pharaoh Necho, after defeating Josiah, he went really up, helping Assyrians. And in May, June of 605, it was a big battle at Carchemish. Nebuchadnezzar on one side with Babylonian forces, and on the other side were the Necho with the Assyrians and with Egyptians, and they were fighting. And a big surprise occurred, because this nation, which was like obscure nation and far away nation, not known nation, Babylonians, suddenly had such big power that they defeated Egyptians. Pharaoh Necho was defeated and he had to run down back home. And when he's running down, all this territory, which we know today like Syria, like Palestine, is open. And Nebuchadnezzar is going down rapidly. And in few weeks, few months, he is in Jerusalem. If I would tell you, you would not believe it, God says to Habakkuk. But when God says something, it will always happen, correct? Because everything is done according to God's word. And then you have descriptions of these Babylonians. And when you look to that description, then more Habakkuk is listening to God, more he is in troubles. If he had before troubles with society, with injustice, with violence, and with the silence of God, then he has even greater troubles with the word of God. Because what the word of God is now telling him is quite unimaginable for him. Because he hears that, yes, people will come, these Babylonians, but these Babylonians will actually punish God's people for their sins. And then when prophet hears that, then he is crying to Lord, Lord, I thought that you are really God of justice, that you do not tolerate evil. But more I am listening to you, it would be better that you will not say anything to me. Because how is it that now these Babylonians, and he's now, describing these Babylonians with not very polite categories of life, because he's saying, well, they're like vultures. They will come. Vultures. They are those who are not taking God's law seriously. They are law for themselves. They are wicked. And they are more wicked than we are. Therefore, Lord, how is it that these people who are like vultures, who are idolaters, brutal people, and you will use these wicked people to punish wickedness in Judah and Israel? This does not make sense. And he's in big troubles. And he's meditating more and more about that. And more he speaks about that, then he's irritated and he's down. You can read like verses 13. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong, God. Why then you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? How is it that the wicked can rule over righteous? And you are even using them to punish the righteous. Lord, I really don't understand. And then prophet is, you know, speaking more and more. And he's saying, well, Lord, now I need your word, explanation to all of this. Give me your word, your revelation. And then in verse 1 and 2, you have that he is saying, Lord, I know, I don't understand, but to make sense of everything, I still depend only on one source. And what is the source? I depend on your word. This is what we have in our world of frustration, disappointment, injustice, and when everything is down, what we have as believers, we have only the word of God. And we are totally dependent on that word. And sometimes we don't understand this word, therefore we need more of this word in order to understand. And this is why prophet is saying, well, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the rampart. I will look to see what you will say, what you will say to me, and what answer I am to give to my complaint. Now, prophet is complaining. And it is all right when prophet is complaining. It is all right when you complain with God. You know, God actually like when we are saying to him everything what is in our heart. God likes that we tell to him all our frustrations, our disappointments. When we are angry, God wants to hear that. And he loves that. If you read the book of Psalms, you understand what I am telling to you. In the past, I could not understand how this psalmist can say such, open prayers, which are almost evil, when they are saying, Lord, these people are doing such a wrong things. You know, I wish that you do something. You kill them. Kill them all. And I am always saying, well, this is a prayer? Now, this is good. When we come to the Lord and we tell him everything, not only our good feelings. Well, I love you, Lord. You know, you are so beautiful. You know, I am in such a beautiful situation. You blessed me. This is good. Of course, we need to do that. But when we are disappointed, frustrated, we are angry, and we don't know what to do else, God wants that we don't keep these wrong emotions in us. Because when we will keep that emotion in us, these emotions has power to be bigger and bigger in us. And they will grow in such proportion that they can choke our spiritual lives. And when we bring these frustrations and questions to the Lord, he can do something for us. He can heal us. He can change our understanding. And maybe we will not change our understanding, but he can help us to live with our questions and our frustrations. And the prophet is now saying, yes, I will wait. I will wait for your word. I will wait for your revelation. And then from verse 4 in chapter 2, God's revelation comes. And it's a surprising revelation. And this is revelation which later on Apostle Paul is taking as a key statement for you and me, how we need to live. And the prophet, God, is saying to the prophet, you know, the wicked, and these wicked are these Babylonians. But we can see under the wicked, the type of everybody who is really wicked. The wicked is living by what? The wicked lives by pride. You can read in verse 4, see, the wicked is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous is not living by pride. The righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live only by the word of God, in total dependence on that word. The righteous will live by embracing Habakkuk. Embracing. And Habakkuk is telling us, yes, the righteous will live by embracing the word of God. The righteous will live by his faith. This adjective or pronominal, suffix there, his, is not telling you that now faith is something what is our own, that we are owners of faith. No, we don't owe faith. But prophet and God wants to tell us that our faith need to be personal. Very personal. That we need to take personally the word of God and take it seriously and live by this word of God. So the righteous will live by his faith, by his personal faith. Not the faith of your brother or sister, or the faith of your son or daughter, or your father or grandmother or mother. No, the righteous will live by his faith, by the personal faith. Because the righteous will take the word of God personally and will take it seriously. And then you can read 5 woes to the wicked. And it's very interesting that that statement, how to live by faith, is only a very short one. Because to live by faith, it means to totally depend on God. To totally embrace the word of God. And for that, you don't need to have explanation of another 40 or 50 chapters. It's simple. It's very clear. What God is saying, just take it, embrace it, and live by it. But the other category, the wicked, is now with colorful language described how terrible life is for the wicked. We as believers, we have questions, we have frustrations, we have disappointments, and we don't have the answers. Or maybe only some partial answers we can have. But we are dependent on the word. But the others are trying to depend on many other things. And you can read in very colorful language how these wicked people want to depend on power, on riches, on the glory, on positions. And you have woe after woe. And you go through the rest of chapter 2 and you have these 5 woes. Woe to the wicked. And I will not go to all these woes to the wicked. because our main message is that the righteous, and we are focusing on the righteous. If you want to be righteous, you need to live in dependency on God. And what does it mean to live on dependency on God? To live on dependency of the Word. The Word of God, this is what we have. And it is the only thing what we have. And living in dependency on the Word of God means to live by faith. By faith. But how is it that we can live by faith? That we can really embrace the Word of God? You know, after the whole, all categories of woes, there is yet in the chapter 2 the final verse. And this final verse is, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. You know, we as human beings, we try to secure our life. But there is no security in richness or in wisdom or in you know, positions of life. The only security is in God. Amen. Is in looking up and looking even more up to the Lord who is in His temple. And when you will look up to the Lord, then you will do what? Let all the earth be silent before Him. This is very interesting. You know, prophet was saying so many things so far. And now, when he is looking up, and he's in the heavenly temple, when he's in the sanctuary in heaven, when he sees the Lord sitting there, then he's saying, well, let everybody in front and before this Lord shut up. Let be silent. Let's listen to Him. But it's irony that the following verse is telling that the prophet himself is breaking the silence. When he's saying, well, look up and look higher and higher and be silent before the Lord, he's breaking the silence. And he's breaking the silence in prayer. This is actually the only word we should say to the Lord. We should speak to Him in prayer. We should not look only around us and see this frustration of life. And when we see the frustration, to come to Him, we need, you know, to come to the Lord in that humble position in prayer. Because God is a king. He is the sovereign Lord. He is actually residing in that heavenly temple. And when He is there, you know, we need to be silent. Because who are we? Who are we in front of this sovereign God? But then in chapter 3, you have this beautiful prayer. And the first words the prophet is saying is reminding us how we can depend on the Word of God. How you and me, we can live by faith. Because he's saying, Lord, yes, Lord, I see you in the temple. I hear your word. But actually, you know, in reality it is like that. I have heard of your fame. I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds in the past. O Lord, renew them in our days. Renew them in our time. Make they known them again. In wrath, remember mercy. I like that statement of the prophet. Yes, Lord, I know you are a fantastic God. All these, events we know from your words, they are excellent. They are mighty deeds, what you did in the past, in favor of your people, for your people. I cannot even enumerate them. And more I am thinking about these mighty deeds of yours, I know from your word, I am standing in awe. If you stand in awe, you are standing like with open mouth, right? And when you are standing in open mouth, you don't talk. Hey, you are surprised. You are wow. You are so good, so beautiful, so majestic, so powerful. And I am frustrated because of these things around me. No, Lord, I know you are such a wonderful God. The past things you did, such extraordinary. Yes, I know. And when you now read his prayer more, he says, yes, I know how you opened, how you split the water, the sea. And your people were going through the Red Sea. I know when your people were going to the promised land, you split even the river, the Jordan River. And no more flood. Everything was calm. Your people could go. And you are so powerful, so magnificent, that you even stopped the sun. When Joshua needed, you stopped it. Wow. Oh, I know, Lord. You are this wonderful God. And suddenly, in that view of majesty of God, of this dignity of God, of this power of God, sovereignty of God, this daily problems of life look so small. But he says, but Lord, I know you are such powerful God, but please renew this powerful acts of the past now with us today. Intervene again. Show this power that you can split our problems. You can open the flood of our situations, that we can go safely forward. Do something. Intervene. Help us. Save us, Lord. Oh Lord. Yes, we are crying to you. Renew, these famous days of the past in our present. Do it. Well, and if you read more and more, then in the whole culmination of the book, from verses 16 to verse 20 or to verse 19, you read that when prophet is struggling with this picture of God and with the problems of life, he says, when I look to the problems of life, I am sick. If you read carefully, you see it. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yes, when we look around, we are full of sickness. All the power is gone because we see that we, in our power, can do anything. We can do anything. But then he's saying very important statement. Yet, nevertheless, in spite of everything in my life, and nevertheless, even though you are there on the throne and you are like silent God, you are like distant God, and we know that you are a famous God from the past events, and these events are such great events, powerful events, in spite of all of this, that you are silent today. Yet, I will wait patiently for your word, for the fulfillment of your word. I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. God is telling him, Babylonians will come, and these Babylonians will be my instrument to punish my people. But there is also punishment for those wicked, for those proud Babylonians. Because you cannot live by pride, by wickedness. You live only by faith. The righteous live by faith. The righteous live by the word. And the righteous live in total dependency on this word. But this word is not an abstract word. It's a very tangible word. This word is that we know who God is and what this God did in the past. And you know also what this God will do in the future. And because you know this God of the past and God of the future, you know that you can trust this God of the present. And you can go forward. This is why he said, yes, nevertheless of everything. Nevertheless, that God's word is here, but sometimes it's like far away God, and he's not speaking right away as we wish. Yet, I will wait patiently. And I will live by faith. Because the righteous live by faith. I will wait patiently for the fulfillment of his word. And though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, it means, though it would be no visible blessing around me, there will be, everything will be gone, no food, no harvest, no blessing in our stalls. There will be nothing there. Yet, it's another nevertheless. Nevertheless, I will rejoice in the Lord. What a powerful statement of faith. The righteous live by faith. And this faith is something tangible. Because we, even though we don't have it in our hands, we have the word of God. And what can be more powerful than the word of God? When God said, it happened. By his word, everything was created. This is the word of the Creator. And this God, Creator, telling us that we can live. And live only by his word. And when we will live by his word, we can rejoice in the Lord. Because we look back and we see what God already did. And we have these wonderful promises what God will do in the future. So we are dependent on these promises of God. And this is why the prophet is saying, yes, nevertheless, of everything I seek around myself, I will look up and I will trust the Lord. I will trust his word. I will depend on his promises. And I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Our God is not only Creator God, but also the Savior God. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. And this is the culmination thought in that book. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. And because he's my strength, I am enabled by him. And I am enabled by him to jump and to go even to the heights, to the big mountains. The Lord is my strength. And from where comes this strength? From where comes the strength from the Lord? It comes from his word. It comes from his promises. And this word of God is actually the word which creates something tangible in our life and has the power to create something tangible around us. This is why we are Seventh-day Adventists. We are looking back that God created, but we are looking also to the future that he will recreate. We are Seventh-day Adventists. And we are dependent on this word, on the promise of God that he will come again.
He is our strength. He is our power. This is why we are invited by this book to embrace. Habakkuk, embracing. We need to embrace the Word of God. You know, it was stated in the introduction that I have 5 children, and I remember the time when my children were small, and now because I have 4 grandchildren, I see it once again. You know, when I came home from giving Bible study or even from my trip somewhere, and one appeared home, and my children saw me from distance, what they were saying? They were screaming, "Daddy, Daddy is here!" And they were running. And how? In what position they were running? Were they running like that? No, they were running with the hands up. And they were running to me more and more. And when they were running and were closer and closer to me, I was kneeling down or coming to the level, and I opened my arm. And then at the final moment was this embrace together. When we were together and we were feeling closeness of each other. And this is actually what God is inviting us to do this morning. Yes, He's always here. He's embracing us. Sometimes we don't feel it. We don't see it. And we are distracted in life. But He's always there. He's closer than you think. And this God loves you more than you love yourself. And this God wants that you take seriously His word. This is the only thing we have in life. And take this word seriously, because the righteous live by faith. And by faith alone. And to live by faith alone means to live by the word of God alone. And the word of God was fulfilled in the past, is fulfilling in the present, and will be fulfilled in the future. Amen. And this is why we can go with head up, not down, not only looking around and be frustrated and spitting and spreading more doubts around things we see. No, we can be full of confidence, not because of our achievements, of our power, but because the Lord is our strength. Because the Word of God is the leading force in our life. The righteous live by this Word of God. The righteous live by the promises of God. And we need to fully embrace this Word of God. You know, La Fontaine, this very famous French author, in many centuries back, wrote many fables, and one of them is very revealing, and I would like to remind you this fable. This author La Fontaine is saying that a hen found an egg, but didn't know that it was not her egg, because it was an eagle egg. And La Fontaine is saying that chicken mother took this egg and took it like her own. And after some time, a little eagle was born. And she looked to that eagle and was very disappointed, because my chicken is very different than all others. This chicken had different beak and different claws and different wings, and she was really disappointed. But it was her chicken, therefore so what? She was now taking him as her own, and was growing up. And La Fontaine is speaking how this little eagle, but like living like a chick, is living in the courtyard, and everybody is laughing at him, and other hens are laughing, and cocks are coming and beating him. But one day, this little eagle noticed that everybody is looking up. He was also looking up, but he noticed that also everybody was hiding. And therefore he hid himself also, and then he was looking from that place up, and then he saw a beautiful bird with this big, large wings and flying so nicely up. And when he saw this bird, he said to his mom, "Mom, look at this bird. This is magnificent. How he's flying. You know, this bird," mom said, "this is an eagle. No, and because it is an eagle, it is a king among all the birds. This is why it's flying so nicely. But mom, I would like also be able to fly like that eagle." "You? Hey, you never. Remember, you are only a chicken. And by the way, you are a very bizarre chicken." And this little eagle put down his head and said, "Well, mom, I know. I am an eagle. I am a chicken. And I am only a bizarre chicken." And La Fontaine is ending the whole parable, this fable, with a very little note. That this little eagle was living several years more in that courtyard with other, you know, hens and cocks, and then he died. Very sad story. Living there, always thinking that he is a chicken, and then he died. Well, I wish that this parable will end differently. I wish that if that story would be written, that somebody came to that little eagle and would said to him, "You know, you are not a chicken. You are an eagle. You were born like a chicken, like an eagle." And I wish that it would be written down that this little eagle believed now in that word, that he is not a chicken, but he is an eagle. And I wish that it would be written that sometimes later that same person would come and say, "Well, you know that you are an eagle. And because you are an eagle, you can also fly like an eagle." And I wish it would be written there also that little eagle would believe in that also. That he will take this word seriously. And he say, "Yes, because I was born like an eagle, so of course then I can fly like an eagle." And he would try. And of course, first tries will be not very successful, but after some time, he would fly nicely. And I wish that the end of that parable would be that this little eagle was flying nicely above this courtyard. And was, going up and down. And everybody in that courtyard was looking up with admiration to him. And they said, "Well, now we know who you are. We know that you are an eagle. You are the king among all the birds." Well, we are not chicken, we are not even eagles. We are sons and daughters of God. Amen? And because we are sons and daughters of God, we have the word of God. And we need to believe in that word of God. We need to live by that word of God. Because the righteous live by faith. And when we will live by this faith, we will live like the righteous sons and daughters of God. And we will be soaring like the eagles, high, because the Lord will be our strength. And we will be enabled to do any task the Lord will ask us to do. We are totally dependent on His word, on His promises. Stand firm on these promises of God. Amen.